several hundred jumps, allegedly up around 900 that have been observed there. And of the 900, let's say 100 or so are fairly substantial jumps and maybe carrying roughly 100 feet long, that size. The chiefs are very disturbed about it. The think tank has recommended the resumption of aerial bombardment and naval fire in what they call the Sea Dragon area, which runs from the 17th parallel up to the 19th parallel, roughly 120 miles in there, which in the past has been authorized for naval fire and, of course, air bombardment. The chiefs say that these movements are unique, that they have not been observed in these quantities before, either night or day, and that it's quite clear the North Vietnamese are achieving significant advantages and gains by this action, and therefore they should be authorized immediately during the remainder of Tet to engage in fire. I just wanted you to be informed on this. I think that it's almost impossible for us to accept this recommendation and act on it, but conceivably later today, you should give the chiefs, or Buzz at least, an opportunity to talk to you about this in the presence of Dean and myself, probably. The counter to the chief's argument, of course, is that this is what you would expect them to do, that there's no question about what they pay a price for movements outside of the Tet period because of our airstrikes, and it's perfectly natural for them to try to move during the Tet period when they don't pay that price. And furthermore, the movements involved appear to be over a rather limited area, roughly 50 miles of coastline from one river estuary to another river estuary. And if they moved as much as the chiefs say they're moving, it still isn't of great significance in the overall Battle of the South. And beyond all that, you're engaged in a very delicate set of relationships here between the Pope and Kosygin and Wilson and the American people and the international community, and it almost be impossible for you for this reason to, and with as little problem as this, to authorize such fire and obvious breaking of the truce. But it is a serious problem of relationships with your military commanders, and I wanted you to be informed of it. I'll try to take care of it during the day.
All right, I expect we ought to have a meeting and talk to them about it. Is there anything in the agreement that would preclude this?
No, it didn't.
When you make the agreement, do you anticipate it?
Well, the answer is yes, I anticipate it, and the chiefs, in the first place, they were opposed to the truce to start with, you'll recall. And secondly, they said that if we had it, we ought to have authority to fire in the event the North was doing anything that was disadvantageous to us, whether it was technically a violation of the truce or not. I would say this is not technically a violation of the truce. It is disadvantageous to us in the sense that they're moving without cost to themselves. So it was anticipated, and the chiefs initially wanted to act as they're now recommending. The counter to their position is that we're doing exactly the same thing. We're reinforcing our forces just as North Vietnam is reinforcing theirs. And in the remaining period of the truce, 2 or 3 days, this just can't penalize us in any important way. But it isn't easy to sell that to the military commanders.
Have you had a meeting with them?
I just met with Buzz. I haven't met with the other chiefs.
Did you sell him?
No. No. But that's just the first meeting. And he's a good, loyal individual, and he'll take the orders he's given. But I doubt very much that we can sell him in the sense of full agreement that we shouldn't go ahead. But why don't we let the day pass, and later in the day, if it still seems serious, I'll give you a call, and we can try to set up a meeting.
Okay, bye.
Bye.